Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
Space, a final frontier.
Here on Radio Boston, we've talked to people from all across the city, and sometimes from even all around the world. But now we're going to hear from someone out of this world, literally, aboard the International Space Station, which is right now floating about 200 miles above us. Navy Commander Chris Cassidy was born in Salem, Mass., and lives in York, Maine. In 2009, he flew aboard a U.S. space shuttle and became the 500th person to walk in space. This past March, he took his second ride aboard a Russian Soyuz rocket. He'll be coming back home early next month after 6 months aloft. Earlier today, with NASA's help, we made contact with Chris Cassidy to find out how he's doing.
Mission Control reports that your line is now certified for communications with space.
And station, this is WBUR-FM. How do you hear me?
Hello there in Boston. Great to be with you and welcome aboard the International Space Station.
Hey, Commander Cassidy, it's Anthony Brooks in Boston. Thanks so much for joining us today. We're very grateful to have you. And I got to say, this is the first time my voice has been in outer space, as far as I know. So I'm very excited about this interview.
Well, Anthony, it sounds just like it does in Boston, I think.
Let me ask you this, Commander Cassidy. When you return home next month, you will have been in space for 6 months, which is, I think, hard for a lot of people on Earth to imagine what that feels like. What's the biggest challenge about being away from Earth for so long?
There's several ways to answer that question. One is on the personal level. You know, we miss our family and friends and our loved ones on the ground. And that's a big part of it. We're all of us that are up here when it's time to return. That's one of the first things we think about is our family, friends, and loved ones. Second to that would be some of the pleasant things that each of us have on Earth. For me, it's been the summertime right now, so I realize that I've missed the smell of fresh cut grass and just being outside in the summertime and going to the beach and that sort of thing. So those types of things that you can just do on Earth are a few of the examples that I'm really looking forward to when I get back.
Mm. Commander Cassidy, quick question. You know, we're following where you are right now online, and I think when I started talking to you, you were somewhere over Senegal. I'm wondering if you can just give me a sense of your view. What are you seeing? What do you see when you look out the window?
The best way for me to describe it is if 200, 250 miles above the surface of the Earth, for instance, we can see all of Florida when we're over it. You see the whole state of Florida and partially up the East Coast. When we come across the Mediterranean, as we go through the Straits of Gibraltar, you can see Italy and its boot there, and that's, we watch that a lot with Luca here. And when you come across the Persian Gulf, you can see all the sand that's all around that whole region, and then the really beautiful lush green Nile River Delta right in the middle of all that. So there's some really breathtaking views to be seen on our planet.
Well, speaking of breathtaking views, Commander, I wonder if you could just tell me a little bit about what it's like to walk in space. What's it like to step outside of a spaceship and into space like that?
There's really not much walking involved. In fact, our legs just sort of drag along and don't do much of anything. It's all done with your hands. So it's hand over hand across a path of handrails. And we always have a safety tether connected back to the airlock hatch. It's kind of like a dog leash with a little slow pull. So if you fell off, nobody ever has, and we don't want to test it, but if you did, it would pull you slowly back to where the airlock hatch is. As we go around the Earth every 90 minutes, 45 minutes in the day, you see the Earth below you, dangling beneath your feet, and at night you see absolutely nothing, total pitch darkness. So it's really an interesting place to work.
But what's it like the first time you step out into space? I've got to imagine that it's like stepping off of a mountaintop or off of a skyscraper. Is there part of you that has to sort of suck it up and just sort of say, take the plunge, man, take the plunge?
You know, that's exactly right. I was just telling the folks before I was talking to you that my experience was, if as if I had just walked up to the edge of a skyscraper and tilted my head over the side, and my brain was telling me, no, 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 what are you doing? You're too close. In fact, this is a kind of a funny story. On my very first spacewalk on my shuttle mission, there happened to be a piece of a drink straw that had floated into our airlock, and when I opened the hatch, this piece of trash, the drink straw, flew right past my head. And I saw it go out of the corner of my eye, and then I watched it kind of spiral its way down to the earth. And I remember thinking, I don't want to be that drink straw, so hold on tight.
Commander, you mentioned your Italian colleague there in the space station, Luca Parmitano, and I know you had a few really tense moments during a spacewalk with Luca Parmitano when his helmet began filling with water, which was potentially a very dangerous situation. Tell us briefly what happened and what you had to do to take care of it.
So at about 45 minutes or an hour into our spacewalk, Luca noticed, or he started to feel, water on the back of his head, which indicated that it was coming from the backpack, which is used to cool. Well, as the water grew, it started to go over his eyes and his ears and eventually got close to his nose and then onto his nose once we got into the airlock. We were communicating to each other with hand signals because he couldn't talk very well. That was the most tense moment right when he went back until we met up together again at the airlock and closed the hatch and started the repressurization to get his helmet off. But once we got the hatch open, the Russian crew and Karen were right there to get his helmet off and execute a nice suit removal quickly.
Well, Commander, I'm glad that worked out for Luca Parmitano. Let me ask you one last quick question. You mentioned the Russian crew. The first time you went into space, you traveled aboard a U.S. space shuttle. This last time you rocketed into space on a Russian rocket, you'll be returning home with the Russians. How does that compare with the U.S. shuttle? What's that experience like?
Well, first and foremost, all the books are in Russian, and there's a guy talking to you on the other side of the radio who's speaking in Russian, unlike in the shuttle where all the books are in my native language and the guys on the radio are all speaking English. So that was one hurdle to get over. But aside from that, it's really more about the size of the vehicles. I would equate the space shuttle to be like a big pickup truck, King Cab pickup truck, lots of cargo in the back. Kind of a nice cushier ride, and you have a couple rows of seats in the front, whereas the Soyuz is a small little race car, you know, where you just get the people and a soft bag of toiletries or something that can go along on your trip. And then because of that, when you're driving a sports car, for instance, you feel all the turns. And I remember on this most recent launch, right off the pad, the vehicle tried to vector in on its heading. I could feel those small little course changes. Whereas in the shuttle, it's such a more massive vehicle. I don't remember feeling those quick nuances in the heading changes. So quite different because of the mass of the vehicle. And then coming home will be a lot different because we'll land under parachute in the Soyuz. And on the space shuttle, it was much like an aircraft landing with wings on a runway. So a couple key differences. Neither one is more right or wrong. They're just different. And I'm really thankful to have both experiences.
Well, Navy Commander Chris Cassidy, he's from York, Maine. He's the flight engineer aboard the International Space Station. Commander Cassidy, thanks so much for joining us. Stay safe and safe travels, and maybe we'll talk to you when you get back to Earth in September.
Okay, my pleasure. Great talking to you again, and go Patriots.
All right. Chris Cassidy will be heading back to Earth on September 11th. You can see a slideshow of pictures of him and the amazing views he has from the space station at radioboston.org. And stay with us. We'll come back to Earth, sort of, with music from the Vermont Joy Parade. Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.